This is Bloomberg Surveillance.
The amount of momentum that we saw in January was distinctly different from anything that we've seen over the last 4 years.
Unfortunately for us, for the U.S. in the near term, when it comes to manufacturing, we still see some headwinds.
The gold market is effectively recalibrating. It is taking back the losses that it made in anticipation of a much steeper Fed trajectory.
Bloomberg Surveillance, your link to the world of economics, finance, and investment on Bloomberg Radio.
Good morning. It is 7 a.m. on Wall Street. It is noon in Leicester, where the Foxes have pulled off the impossible, winning the Premier League as a 5,000-1 underdog. It is 9 p.m. in Sydney, where the Reserve Bank of Australia has pulled off the unexpected, cutting rates and setting off a global debate on the outlook for inflation and growth. All that. And the weather forecast on Surveillance today. I'm Michael McKee, along with Tom Keane. The RBA move, cutting rates to a record low of 1.75%, coupled with a cut in the economic forecast for Europe by the European Commission and lousy European bank earnings, has markets on the wrong foot worldwide. Notice, Tom, how we're using English idioms today in honor of Leicester. Australia finished up 2.1% on the rate cut and fiscal stimulus from the government. But Europe is lower right now. The Stock 600 is down 6 points, 1.75%. Financials there down 2.25%. The DAX is off 185 points, 1.8%. The FTSE in London down 79 points right now, 1.3%. The Purchasing Managers Manufacturing Index there comes in showing contraction, comes in 49. Brexit concerns are cited. Here in the U.S., S&P futures are down 16, 0.8%. Dow futures 131, that's 0.75%. And NASDAQ futures are off 36, 0.8%. Yields are dropping. People coming into U.S. markets for safety, it appears, 1.8 for your 10-year, 5 is 1.25%, and the 2-year yield is 75 basis points right now. What is really falling? The dollar index, 92.249, down another 0.4 on the day. Atul Lele is Chief Investment Officer of Deltek International, normally with us from the Bahamas, but life is better here in New York, where it's cold and rainy, right? You don't want to be down where it's warm.
Oh, it's nice to be back in civilization.
Yeah. What's going on out there? Is there deflation? Is there inflation? I mean, in the U.S., we're starting to see signs that prices are rising. Is what the world is doing just reflecting a dichotomy in inflation possibilities?
That's exactly the point, that we are seeing this dichotomy in inflation outlooks. From around the world, there's clear deflationary pressures. We've still got capacity utilization rates, which are very low in many, many parts of the world. But when we take a step back and actually look at what's happening in the US, there's clear inflationary pressure coming through from the wages side of things. There's clear inflationary pressure coming through when we look at capacity utilization rates are now starting to get stretched. And some of that imported deflation we're seeing in affecting the US over the past year is actually coming out of the system as well, courtesy of the dollar dropping back a little.
So what matters more? I mean, we're seeing reaction today, short term, to what the RBA did. But what matters more, what's happening in U.S. and the outlook for U.S. inflation, or the fact that the Japanese and many countries in Asia can't gin any up?
Well, what we're seeing around the world is definitely adding to dislocations in markets. When we saw the moves from the Bank of Japan last week, or the lack of moves from the Bank of Japan last week, that caused a major dislocation in markets. But when we look at what's happening in the US, that ultimately is going to be the driver of policy settings around the world. The US Fed funds rate is the reference rate for the rest of the world. The US 10-year Treasury yield is the reference rate for the rest of the world as well. So I think what we're seeing happening in the US with these burgeoning inflationary pressures that will really start to impact as we move into Q4 2016 and into 2017, those inflationary pressures will end up dominating.
Well, Sergio Amati, CEO of UBS, reported first quarter profit today, dropped 64%. The stock is down by 8.5% in Europe right now. Said, we're seeing volatility, quote, but it's not the kind of volatility that is translating to client activity. It's a paralyzing volatility. Is that what you're seeing as well?
That's certainly what we're seeing. We're seeing huge dislocations in markets in this year already. Of course, we started the year with the worst six-week start to the year ever for equity markets. We've seen dislocations across currency markets.
So nobody wants to trade because they're afraid.
And that's what it is. It isn't the type of volatility where you see opportunities come out of the woodwork. It's actually the type of volatility where you see these dislocations and it causes people to question really a lot of the models that we're looking at. It causes us to question. We run models on a huge number of items in our Outlook pieces, and at Deltek it's caused us to relook at all of our models.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. You're slow today.
I've been celebrating Lester. Well, I've been celebrating Lester all night. Actually, the Red Sox in first place is a pretty good idea.
And your Penguins won last night.
They did. It was a big game, a late game, too. They went forever. Bloomberg Surveillance folks, this morning, folks. We say good morning to all in Australia as well with the big news there. Bloomberg Surveillance brought to you by Invesco. Invesco believes it's time to bench the benchmarks and to consider active management factor-based strategies. Find out more at Invesco.com/high conviction. It has been an extraordinary morning. As I said out on Twitter, there's a real shift here. You see it in a almost three standard deviation move in euro dollar. And Mike, you mentioned a stronger yen as well, 105.81. The idea of linking, and you said this earlier, transmission mechanisms. How does central bank activity transmit over to the real economy?
Well, the primary tool in which it occurs is via the banking system. And so when we see these problems across European banks, that's a real problem because it means that the transmission mechanism from what the ECB is doing into the real economy is not working. That's a stark contrast in Europe to what we're seeing in the US. When we see the Fed senior loan officer survey, which was out yesterday, you were seeing that transmission mechanism at work. We're still clearly seeing that loans to consumers are being eased. So the transmission mechanism is working very well in the US. It's not working very well at all in Europe.
Why is it? That's the huge why, isn't it?
Well, the reason is the problems in the banking system. When the banking system in Europe is still deleveraging, when it's still getting rid of bad assets, which are largely emerging market exposed assets, when they're bad commercial loans out of Europe, when banks in Europe are deleveraging, they're going to be very reticent towards extending new loans and actually transmitting that ECB monetary policy.
Can I admit I'm a tourist? I sort of naively look at Australia banking like I look at Canadian banking, which is its extremely robust, small set of banks. Is that true?
It's a very good way of looking at the banking sector. They're very similar in terms of you've got a few major pillar banking institutions out there. I think that the element that we're looking at from a markets perspective right now is both Australian and Canadian banks have a huge increase in non-performing loans ahead of them as this commodities boom unwinds and impacts asset prices mm-hmm. across their economies. That's the similarity to look at right now.
The Fed is seems to be at the center of all these concerns. If they raise rates, it helps emerging markets. It helps Australia. But a lot of people say it hurts the U.S. economy. And then the U.S. economy is the one that's supposed to buy all of everybody's stuff and make the world better. So what would you advise them to do?
The Fed's in a difficult situation because actually we take the view that as the Fed raises rates, that removes US dollar liquidity from the rest of the world. 60% of global GDP relies on US dollar liquidity. So when the Fed raises rates, it has a huge impact on the rest of the world. It's actually very negative for emerging markets because emerging markets are so heavily reliant on US dollar liquidity just to fund themselves. They rely on those US dollar capital inflows. And so when we start to see the Fed raise rates, it has such a massive impact across the rest of the world that causes a lot of this volatility that the Fed's suddenly stuck in this situation where this food feedback loop from them raising rates into the rest of the world, that volatility impacting the US market, leaves them in this very difficult situation and frankly has left them in the situation they've been in right now. They were on a very clear path to raise rates, and then we saw the volatility in late 2015, early 2016 from their earlier actions, and that's really derailed the story that they had, which is rates are going to steadily rise this year.
Let's come back. There's a red button. Oh, Mike, quickly, what do you got?
No, I'm just saying, we'll discuss it here in a little bit. Wanted to ask about the whether the dollar is too important.
Oh, I agree. I think let's come back and lead with that. I think that's a good idea. Let me do an extended data check here with markets really on the move. It's a very subtle, nuanced move, but clearly risk off. Futures were negative 11, I'm going to call it now, negative 15. Dow futures, negative 122. With a vengeance, U.S. yields in. The two-year in 4 basis points, 0.75%. The 10-year 1.81% in a solid 7. Huge 7 basis point move there. Oil doesn't play. 44.25 down 53 cents on West Texas Intermediate. Gold flat, 12.96 the ounce. Where you see it, I'm watching German 2 and 10-year yields. They have come in only in the last hour. They've really broken down, not down to any kind of new lows or anything like that. But the German two-year negative 0.493 bears watching. Euro 115.78, the yen 105.82, and sterling 146.62. Show the abrupt currency move. Australian dollar, stronger U.S., 0.7562 on the Aussie dollar this morning.
Time now to bring in Michael Barr and get the latest world and national headlines. Michael?
Mike, Tom, thank you very much. Donald Trump is hoping today will be the knockout blow against rival Ted Cruz. It is primary day in Indiana. Polls show Trump leading, heading into today's vote. Meanwhile, Bernie Sanders admits he has a tough battle to catch Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton. Sanders says, though, a good showing today could give him momentum all the way into California. An American serviceman has been killed near Erbil in Iraq. Defense Secretary Ash Carter, who is in Germany consulting with European allies, says it is a combat death. Former New York Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver will learn his fate following last year's conviction in a corruption case. A judge today is scheduled to sentence the Manhattan Democrat. The government has asked that he serve substantially more than a decade in prison. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by our 2,400 journalists and more than 150 news bureaus from around the world. I'm Mike Lubar. Mike, Tom?
And Michael, thanks so much. The German 10-year yield, 0.22%. That's in a solid 4 basis points this morning. Big, big moves in currencies and foreign exchange worldwide. Bloomberg Surveillance.
Bloomberg Surveillance brought to you by NYCB. Ask about their My Community Interest Checking with free NYCB online and mobile banking. Earn more, get more. Visit nycbfamily.com for details.